When it comes to Christmas, we have a set idea of what it should look like. In fact, if anyone wants to beatbox, maybe, Tim, that was that little thing that you did at the start. Maybe you should teach the rest of us so we can go door knocking and just... By the way, beatboxing actually isn't that hard. Chill. Yes. Three words, right? Boots and cats. And you just repeat it. Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats. I won't quit my day job. Our Christmas message today, for the next 20 minutes, you might go home today and you might go, oh, I went to One Turner Church today. What did the pastor talk about for the 20 minutes during the Christmas message? Well, he taught us how to beatbox, sort of. But what is Christmas really all about? You see, the thing is, year in, year out, and some of us have been doing this since the day we were born, we come to a Christmas program and we expect pretty much a similar thing. And sure, we deliver the message a little bit differently, but for the most part, there is a certain level of expectation that we place on the Christmas message. In fact, there's a certain level of expectation that we place on Christmas in and of itself. We have certain traditions, we have certain things that we adhere to from year to year. For example, Christmas for many of us may look something like this. Well, this is a photo I got off, you know, it's an American photo. It's got the fireplace I showed this last year, actually. I like this photo. And some of you are thinking, yeah, it's summer, we don't need a fireplace. Just wait a couple of hours, you probably need that. So we have the Christmas tree, we have the stockings, we have all that stuff, and it's a nice, cozy place. But beyond just these trees, Christmas trees and all that stuff, we have family. We have gifts. We have a time when we get together, and Christmas shopping is one of those things that you do in the lead up to it, and kids are excited. And there is actually one traditional part of Christmas that I wouldn't mind doing, so to speak, that I actually really enjoy, and it's... Yes, maybe I'm the only one who isn't enthusiastic and then excited about that. There's the food. So those are the, I guess, the standard parts of Christmas. Now, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with tradition. Nothing wrong with, say, making sure you book in Road to Bethlehem next year because of how much fun we have. Yes, we did. And just hearing the powerful message of Christmas. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing, though. If you truly think about it, the first Christmas ever was, as you have seen so eloquently presented by the kids, it was unexpected. Why? It is the story of a king. Now think about this. Not just anyone, not just any baby boy, but the king of the universe who has come down to earth to die for you and to die for more because of how much he loves us. The Bible says this in Matthew. She will give birth to a son, and this is the angel talking to Joseph, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That first Christmas must have been something else. The problem, though, is that most people today come to Christmas already knowing what to expect. I mean, you might go, yeah, the songs will be a little bit different. Yeah, we're going to have a drama. I can't wait to see what that looks like. But the core message itself, I mean, some of you are like, okay, he's just repeating the same thing that I have known for a very long time. You know, this is the part I enjoy the music, I enjoy the drama, but the preacher speaks for about 15, 20 minutes, even less than usual, and I can already predict what he's going to say next. Now imagine this for a second. If you had come into this church and for the first time in your life, you were hearing about the Christmas message, And you're like, you mean Santa didn't invent Christmas? What would change about how you approach Christmas? The people of Israel, the Jews, had a certain expectation of what that first Christmas was going to look like. They wanted a king, but not born in a swaddling manger. They wanted a king that came with a sword, not with love. And so at the end of the day, for the Jews and for us, it comes down to two words. If you want to take anything away from the Christmas message today, it's these two words: expectations and perception. You see, even though the Bible was very clear that when the Messiah was going to come, the Jews saw that, didn't like it, dismissed anything they didn't like, dismissed anything that did not fit into the expectations, and that in turn shifted and changed their perception. So they rejected all of that. And some of you are thinking, how does that apply to me today? Well, here's the thing though. Expectations actually set the stage for your perception, which in turn sets the stage for reality. What do I mean? Let me illustrate. I've used this illustration before because, in fact, a couple of things I've used here, I'm going to use today, some of you will find familiar. This is called the, and I'm going to have a look because I'm going to mess it up, the Checker Shadow Illusion by Edward Adelson. So he's a professor of vision science at MIT, and in 1995, he came up with this. It's in this field called psychophysics. This is an optical illusion. Now, what is the illusion, you say? And the illusion is this: that and that are the same color. Some of you are like, yeah, I know. Maybe he rigged it this time. Those two are the same color. I can prove it to you, all right? So here's what it looks like. Are they the same color to you now? Okay. You're like, it's just computer graphics, right? All right. The best way, the easiest way, is to focus just on B. All right? Just focus on that. And I'm going to bring up those two bars. Just focus on that. Don't change. Here we go. All right. Now focus on A. You have an expectation that maybe he's going to play a trick on us. But check out this video. It's got a little funky music at the end. Just to actually illustrate just a little bit more on what exactly what I'm talking about, okay? Have a look. I want you to listen to Adelson's explanation. The visual system needs to determine the color of objects in this world. In this case, the problem is to determine the gray shade of the checks on the floor. Just measuring the light coming from a surface, the luminance, is not enough. A car shadow will dim a surface so that a white surface in shadow may be reflecting less light than a black surface in full light. The visual system uses several tricks to determine where the shadows are and how to compensate for them in order to determine the shade of gray paint that belongs to the surface. Get it? Good. All right, let's move on. The paintness of the checks is aided by the form of the X junctions formed by the four abutting checks. This type of junction is usually a signal that all the edges should be interpreted as changes in surface color rather than in terms of shadows or lighting. As with many so-called illusions, this effect really demonstrates the success rather than the failure of the visual system. Got it? All right. Notice what he says here, right? I didn't get any of that. But what I did get was this. He says, this effect really demonstrates the what? Success rather than the failure of the visual system. Now, that's interesting because we expect to be able to tell the differences apart. And so when we are not able to, our eyesight, our vision has failed us. But Adelson makes an important comment. He says it actually demonstrates the success rather than the failure of the visual system. And he describes it this way. The visual system is not very good at being a physical light meter, but that is not its purpose. The important task is to break the image information down into meaningful components and thereby perceive the nature of the objects in view. So what Adelson is simply saying this. We expect the visual system to do something, and so when it doesn't, we think it has failed. But the truth of the matter is, that's actually not what our visual system is for. So thereby, our expectations have then set the perception of reality. See, the Christmas message is actually not very, very complicated. There's no difficult, complex. It's Jesus came to die for us, and that's it. We accept he loves us, it's the gift, and we accept him. That is the core of the Christmas message. What are you expecting? Well, I'm going to bring it all back together now. This message is actually so simple, I can do it in the next 5, 6, maybe 22 minutes. So, I'm going to illustrate with my favorite source of entertainment these days. It is the office of the President of the United States. I have been very amused by it. I use the office of the President of the United States probably too much in my illustrations, just because it's so amusing. But the funny thing is, maybe not so funny thing is, I had no material when this guy was a president. Well, some of you are like, yeah, of course you do. Well, I do, but it's a little bit different. When Obama was in president, Obama was in the Oval Office, the White House. He was described as, you know, presidential. I mean, he was the most powerful man in the world. Many people considered him to be that, and you would not get many arguments at all. But I apologize if there are any Donald Trump supporters. I have nothing against him. In fact, it's probably not fair that I use this picture. I should use a better photo of him. Sorry. There we go. Is that better? Now, what words would you use to describe Donald Trump? Don't shout it out, please. Just, you know. Toupee. The office of the President of the United States has not changed. We have certain expectations of what that office holds. I could talk about our Prime Minister. I'm not even going to go there, okay? The expectations hasn't changed, but the perception has. Why? Because we have a certain expectation. In fact, last year, Donald Trump visited the UK, and there was massive protests. So much so, and I saved this headline, I make sure to clip it. This was on Time magazine. Check this out, right? Protesters are gaming Google images, so when you search idiot, President Trump appears. Some of you remember this? I used this last year. I was quite excited when I came across this. So if you go to Google search, you can search images, and you can type in, you know, if you type in car, cars will come out. If you type in giant ship will come out. If you type in idiot, for a few glorious days. I shouldn't say that. This is actually what happened. You typed in idiot. put your phones down. They've long since fixed it. Because there were certain expectations of what a president should be. And because of that, the perception changed entirely. But here's a question for you. If people hate him so much, how is he the president of the United States? Now, before you say Russian interference, the fact of the matter is people voted for him. And the fact of the matter is, say what you want about him, he actually kept a lot of his promises. I'm not pro or against Trump. Like I said, I just find the whole thing very, very amusing. It comes down to these two words: expectations and perception. Christmas has been the same for 2,000 years. The first Christmas was as unexpected as you can imagine. But was it really? But for the last 2,000 years, for the last 5, 10, 20, 50, 80 years that you've been coming to this church, 100 years, Christmas has remained the same. The message of Christmas is exactly the same. It is a story of a king who loves you and I so much that he came down to die for you and to die for me. In fact, if I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, it's probably longer than 2,000 years when the plan of salvation was conceived. The Christmas message hasn't changed, and we certainly have no intention of changing it. But here's what I'm hoping you can take away from our message today. That yes, we can't change the Christmas message, but what we can change is perhaps our expectations, our perception. That the Christmas that we experience, yes, there's the gifts, yes, there's the music, yes, there's the family, yes, there's the food. Maybe we need to expect a little bit more. Maybe we can look at the greatest gift that God has given to us, and maybe when it finally happens, our perception will change. Maybe we can expect God to seek us out because he already has. Maybe we can expect God to change us and transform us and to give us these wonderful experiences in ways that you and I have never experienced before. Maybe it's time to expect Christmas to be more than just those things that we normally do. Maybe it's time to expect the greatest gift of all to come into our hearts.